There we go. Now it's official. This is our June 2015 Mystical Monday teleclass discussion on Mercury retrograde. So I guess where I think it would be a good place to start would be to talk about some of your experiences, not sharing personal details, of course, but personal experiences or observations of what this particular Mercury retrograde was like. And I may as well start and share a few things, and then we'll just kind of do a go-around, and anybody who wants to share things can share things. So the first thing is that this particular Mercury retrograde is in Gemini, which is an air sign. All three Mercury retrogrades are in Gemini this year. So the first one was in Aquarius, and that was the one at the end of January, beginning of February. This one, Gemini. And the final one will be in another air sign, Libra, in the fall. So air representing intellect, the mind, ego, stuff like that. You know, with Gemini, it's represented by the twins. And so duality, polarities, things like that. And so that would be the area that we're focusing on, would be, you know, things of the duality and things involving our mental aspects would be what's coming up. And so what I've been noticing is that I've been very busy lately, very busy talking to people on the internet, fielding phone calls, having clients and stuff. So I've noticed some people that have just gone right into meltdowns and, stuff is coming up. So retrograde, meaning retro going back, retrograde brings up a lot of things. It'll show us very clearly what our patterns are from the past, what needs to be changed. Some retrogrades I find are easier than others. This particular one is longer than most, almost a full month. They're usually 3 weeks. And it's been really intense. So people have been, you know, some people have been finding it quite brutal, actually. And then others, I find, seem to be coasting right along through. So but more often than not, I'm finding people are really stressed, mentally stressed, and, you know, all sorts of things are happening. And it feels to me, too, that, you know, part of the reason why these things are going on is because universal energies support us in our evolution. So if we've been avoiding working on something, you know, these planetary influences show up and kind of put it right in our face. So we can't avoid looking at it. Things become so, I'll use the word loud. So our patterns and things will become so loud and so in our face that we can't shove it under a rug or, you know, hide it in a closet. I guess we could say our skeletons are not just coming out of the closet, they're booting the door open and dancing out for everybody to see. That's what it seems like on a collective. When we look at that in terms of, that's in our people's personal world, then we can look at that on the grander stage. So, you know, in the collective, you know, watching what's happening with governments and political issues that are going on, things are becoming more evident. So if, things corporations and governments are hiding seem to be more apparent. So that is a part of it too. And so that's what I've been watching. So I'm, you know, just even out socializing with friends and, you know, watching what kind of meltdowns people have been experiencing there. So I was out with a group of ladies last week for a luncheon, and, you know, there was quite a lot of stuff that was going on, quite a lot of conversation around the table, and you know, with partners and, you know, all sorts of things. People were dealing with some really intensive stuff. And, you know, being in a small community like we are here in Bancroft, everybody knows everybody, when I think it's easier in a bigger center like, you know, North Bay, Sudbury, Toronto, to kind of lose yourself in the crowd. But get into a place like Bancroft where everybody knows everybody's business, and then you throw a Mercury retrograde just to stir shit up, and then, you know, watch what's going on with everybody. You know, you can't avoid it. So it's been very, very interesting. So somebody just joined us?
Hi. It's Nicole. I'm Nicole.
Oh, hi, Nicole. Hi. Glad you could make it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. So I was just talking and sharing some of my experiences of what I've been observing through this Mercury retrograde. Through friends, clients, through, you know, observing the global things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then I was just going to be asking everybody. Richard will be next to share any of his thoughts on the Mercury retrograde and what he's thinking or feeling might be going on here. So there you go, Richard. I'll let you chat for a few minutes.
Well, I don't know that I have anything particular to say on this one other than it's just challenging.
Uh-huh.
The farther on we get in the year, the more challenging everything seems to be getting, personally and collectively. There's lots of big things on the horizon collectively, that's for sure. Just the same stuff just continues to be challenging.
Uh-huh.
Don't really have anything particular to say about how it's different this time than from the last Mercury, from the last retrograde. It seems about the same, except more challenging.
Yeah, intensified.
Just seems to get intensified. Yeah.
It's amplified.
Yeah, I don't find it's a whole lot different than how it was before. Just more intense.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's about it.
All right. So I'm going to actually pass this over to our friend Agatha, who's here visiting from Tulum, Mexico, and I'll let her add some comments to Mercury retrograde this time around.
Hi, everyone. Well, thanks, Monica, for this space. I felt this Mercury retrograde compared to the past ones definitely has to do a lot with the mental process, the duality of how, well, I've noticed in myself going from very positive thoughts to very negative in a very short period of time, and then whole reality changes, right, when the thoughts are there. So a lot of old stuff coming up, family stuff, old things. And so definitely very challenging, but I'm personally starting to feel lighter, really, because we're getting at the end of it. And also I read a little bit about Gemini and Kabbalah. The energy of the month of June is about realizing that there's the two energies available, or the two, you know, we have light, we have darkness, and we can be very aware in the whole month of June about these two energies available, or these two spectrums of the same thing, and choosing consciously which side, if we can say it that way, be in. We all have this incapacity to be light, but it takes work and it takes focus, and it's like a dance. So this month of June was dancing. When you see it come, like in a form of a thought, or even like the energy you feel like when it shifts, instead of going head on against it, just kind of, you know, dance with it, play with it, acknowledge that it's there, but don't use it against yourself. Just that's what I've been experiencing for the whole month.
Mm.
Very interesting. Well, entering into the month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Awesome. Thanks, Agatha. Yeah. So I think what we'll do now, Christopher's outside. And so we're just going to continue on with those on the phone. And so we'll start with you, Angela.
Okay.
Yeah. So what have you been experiencing with this retrograde?
So with this one, in the beginning, sort of that the mind and revisiting old patterns, especially around family, like the other lady had said. But I found that it was easier to resolve, and it kind of, I did do clearing work and stuff, but I felt like it finally had come to a point where it would be resolved and moved forward. I know that I've been doing a little more reading because I was actually born at the beginning of Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I kind of looked back, I noticed that at the beginning of the retrograde, I felt it sort of the most intently, and that's when a lot of the things came up, and I did the work. And since completing that work,
mm-hmm.
I've not found myself in the same position that I was in the beginning. So I think for myself, the beginning perhaps of the retrogrades, the Mercury retrograde, is sort of the strongest because I identify that energy really quickly,
mm-hmm.
Because of the birth position. And but once I seem to have resolved it or felt that I actually resolved it this time, then everything quieted down. But I was definitely more mindfully in tune. So then I was out sort of seeking new things. And in particular, the Toltec teachings,
mm-hmm.
which fall into, you know, that Gemini energy, I just can't seem to get enough of. And they really sort of speak to me. And that peacefulness has continued through. So where it started off with all the usual retrograde things. By doing the work and completing the work to a new level, it kind of has died sort of down,
mm-hmm.
to being peaceful and almost being cooperative now for other mindful exploration.
Nice. Well, you know, you touched base on some really important things here, and that is the fact that, you know, Mercury retrograde, it's the one we tend to relate to the most because it does happen 3 times a year, and the energies can be, you know, somewhat intense. This particular one is more intense than others in past, but the reason, you know, that we experience things this way is not just so we have challenges and hard times. It's because it offers us an opportunity to go through some of our life's challenges and transform things. We can transform things into more positive, so that's like doing the work. And so what I find is that You know, actually what I'm thinking about, there was a client Richard and I were working with earlier today, and she seemed very aware of things, and that effect of Mercury retrograde made it easier to see things. So if you go in with the right mindset, you go into a Mercury retrograde that way, that I'm going to find those things, you know, or be open to those things that need to be transformed for my highest good, then they will become evident. And so it's not, you know, retrogrades aren't to punish us, but if our egos get too attached to things and we don't let go, it can be very challenging. So my feeling is those who are more aware and who are doing their work will not find this as challenging as other people. So, and the reason being because they understand using the energies in a certain way, and because they're doing their personal work, even if it's not through astrology, you know, if they're not aware of what Mercury retrograde is, people who are doing their work, you know, their personal work will, you know, more readily be able to transform, recognize, and transform things.
Yeah, the one thing I was thankful for that was different for this retrograde, Mercury retrograde, than the last one was the last one is where I blew up the bank machine. So I didn't have any major issues with electronics. Because that last one was the first time I had ever experienced that, and it caught me so off guard that I was a little leery coming into this one. But when I was my work, I've, you know, it's passed by, and I've gone, oh, I didn't blow up anything this time.
Yeah, I didn't blow up any bank machines, not even one time. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Mercury retrograde really affects electronics and, you know, even emails and things like that. So, you know, communications can, you know, go a little strange and messy, but yeah. Yeah, blowing up bank machines, that was rather interesting. It would be nice to go into a casino and, you know, do something funny with those slot machines.
Yeah.
Activate and get a payout would be handy.
Getting a payout would be
I think the other good thing, though, about in doing the work that I did through this particular retrograde,
uh-huh.
knowing that it affects communication and being sort of aware of how certain things can be affected after having, you know, it show me its power in the last one.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of allowed that work that I did do in the beginning, and you get to that sort of completion and peacefulness with it, that mm-hmm. being mindful that the retrograde is still on, I've not done what I usually do in the past, which is to test myself in some way that, you know, I have been able to, that I will now be able to communicate you know, my true self, my true intention, that type of thing. Because I know we're still in retrograde, I've let it sort of ease back, and then reading about, you know, the next retrograde that's on now, that it's kind of like, okay, I don't need to actually do anything. That's another piece of the lesson, is let it come as it needs to come, but recognize that you've already done the work. And whenever and if ever it comes, then you'll use the tools that you have taken on.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that was uh-huh. another one, was, you know, that being very aware that communication is not the best of things. So
mm-hmm.
don't put yourself out in communicating when it's, you know, only going to work against you possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Wow. Cool. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing, Angela.
You're welcome.
So, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I want to go there.
Go only where you
what?
I said go only where you want to go.
Well, like Angela, I went into it trying to do the work. And as you know, it all went sideways.
Yeah.
But it seems, and for me too, it was about family and old behavior patterns and, like you were saying, you know, learning to let go and all that stuff. It's starting to feel different now. Not sure if I'd say things have been resolved. I mean, is that what the retrograde is supposed to bring, a resolution?
Well, it's supposed to bring, it's not going to bring a resolution, but it is going to bring things up that need to be dealt with and looked at. So what's most important in your life cycle right now will show up.
Okay.
And this particular retrograde has been, I would say, rather, I want to say unforgiving in the way, or relentless, maybe that's the word. You know, for a lot of people, it's been relentless with what's come up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly how it felt. Like, it's like one thing after another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So do you feel then, Nancy, that throughout this retrograde, did you learn a lot of things about yourself that you didn't realize before?
I wouldn't say that I didn't realize, because it's all stuff that I thought I had dealt with and put behind me. And then they all started coming back up.
Mm-hmm.
But I stuck in and I dealt or tried to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, I don't know. It's not that I was retreating in the past. I'm not exactly sure. I'm still confused as to what happened. But
did you find you were handling things differently than you?
Well,
had?
Yeah. Yeah, because I went through it more quickly than I usually do.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine one thing after another and you're not working through it? So if you had one thing or after the other hitting and it was sticking, you would have been a real mess.
Oh, I would have just totally broke down.
Yeah, but also keep in mind, you're never given anything you can't really handle.
Mm-hmm.
You handled it. That's the main thing.
It wasn't pretty.
Sometimes it's just not. I had a few realizations and things go on with this retrograde myself that were not pretty. But that's what we all have, things that are not pretty. So, you know, no one is exempt. That's what I mean, in the sense that it's unrelentless. None of us are exempt. We all get shown those things that are not pretty. And so in that, knowing that we're all in it together, we can all have our not pretty come up and go, oh, well, we're all having some. You know, we're all having a good helping of that. Just, you know, eventually Mercury goes back direct speed and we get a good helping of dessert later.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is there any positive, like I think Angela was saying, direct instead of retrograde?
Yeah. It's going direct on the 11th, which is Thursday, and then a couple of days after that. But the thing is, Nancy, is that you experience those things. Like you said, you moved through them faster than before, and you probably handled the same issues differently this time than you had at other times.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, then you've worked on transforming things. So, you know, I don't want to, because, it's such an open call, I don't want to, you know, go too deeply into things here. But, from what I read about you, you know, when I'm reading you, I know that you've had different awarenesses and different ways of looking at things that have been coming up for you. So, you know, I think you've handled it rather well. So that's what I will say.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good.
I think, Nance, you're not necessarily giving yourself all your dues, because I think, you know, just again in general terms, like Monica said, because it's an open call, you know, there are things that you handled in a different way for the first time and you could see the benefits to it, and that as we've come to the end of the retrograde and some of the other things that, you know, you and I talked about and things that we did and things that went on, you kind of come out the other end and are getting a little more comfortable with certain things. And that might even, Monica, tie back to, because when we checked Mercury retrograde, Nancy was actually born at the end of Mercury retrograde, where I was born at the beginning. So
okay.
I think she's coming into that sort of peaceful spot that I got when I finished my work towards the beginning, where my energy was used to that feeling, where she was born at the end of a retrograde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that affect?
Into an energy area where she recognizes.
Yeah.
A little more.
It'll affect things, Nancy. It'll affect things, but it depends on, you know, what your chart looks like, where Mercury is retrograde in your chart, and what were the other planets doing. So it's a very complex thing to look at.
Well, if you're trying.
Yeah, she was retrograde Capricorn, if that helps you, Mon.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole lot of other things as well, like, you know, what the other planets were doing. But I'm not an astrologer either, so I would say, even though I like to talk a lot about Mercury retrograde because, you know, I find it interesting and how it affects us, you know, and I'll talk about full moons and certain other things at times. You know, I'm not an astrologer, so I don't know a lot about how to interpret a chart. I can read people,
mm-hmm.
you know, without planets and you know, understand, you know, some of the things that go on. But, you know, where, from my perspective, you know, we each have, you know, an astrological chart in Western astrology. We have our Chinese zodiac chart. We have Ayurvedic astrology, Aztec astrology, Mayan, indigenous. There's so many different kinds. And then we can even look at numerology. And all of these things, when I look at myself through the lens of all of these different things, it tells me the same story about me. That's the interesting thing. It tells me the same story about me. So I read people, and, you know, if I learn about them through astrology, certain things, it just affirms what I read in people. You know, so I find that interesting how that works in particular. But, yeah, so... You know, yeah, Nancy, you had a lot of stuff come up. I thought you handled it all rather well.
Well, that's nice to hear. I guess I'm still in the tail end of it, so I'm not...
Yeah.
I'm not seeing clearly the benefits yet.
Yeah. Well,
it's hard to see past the hardship sometimes.
Yeah, no, well, not to say that I feel better. I definitely feel better, more peaceful.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's great. And I know I've had other Mercury retrogrades in past where I'd just be going, really? Like I went through a cycle of a couple of years where I was having eclipses in my sign and I felt like the universe was kicking my butt. It was terrible. You know, so there can be other planetary influences, you know, and the Mercury retrograde is just adding heat to a fire sometimes. You know, mm-hmm. I just, as a collective, this particular Mercury retrograde has been very intense.
And yeah, and it all started with the lunar eclipse, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what, if it makes you feel any better, Nancy, there was a lot of other people on that ride with you. A lot of people in the collective. And so, you know, we all come through it, and, you know, it's not a race, it's not, you know, it has nothing to do with one person had it easy and the next one didn't, and, you know, it's just, we all have ups and downs, and some parts are harder for others, and, you know, we, six of one and half a dozen of another, so those who had it easier this time around might get their butts kicked again another time. Not like one person wins.
Mm-hmm.
In the whole thing.
No, it's not about winning. It's about taking care of your behavior patterns, right? Is that what the retrograde is all about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's about all of us winning as a collective. That's what we're in the game for. For us all to get through our stuff eventually and, you know, expand ourselves. And it really shows us what we're made of when we go through these things. Shows us what we're made of. And usually what we wind up figuring out is that we're spirits having a human experience, and, you know, we're growing and evolving, and you know, sometimes we find that some of the things we thought were so important and mattered to us just don't anymore in the bigger picture of things. So, you know, there's a lot of realizations for people coming through this. But, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, well done. And, I mean, I have talked to some other people, you know, who sent me back replies that, you know, knew they wouldn't be on the call tonight. And, you know, I had a few go, wow, that was brutal. Glad that's just about done. And, you know, I had one lady send me a comment saying, Mercury was retrograde? I usually feel those really badly, and I've just been floating. I thought, oh, lucky you. So it's different all the time. You know, it's different for people all the time. But just more often than not, I've been finding, you know, people have been particularly stressed with this one. So there's a lot of energy going on this year, and there's a lot that we're intended to do as a collective to deeply wake up to ourselves. And so this is all a part of it. And when one of us has a more difficult time than the other, they're taking that on everybody's behalf too, because we are all in this together. And so those who have an easier time are having that easier time on everybody's behalf as well. So that's, you know, that's what I mean, six of one and half a dozen of another. It's not like there's one winner. You know, there's one winner when we all win. And we are one winner. That's pretty much how it's supposed to be. So, yeah, it's awesome.
I just want to make a comment. I feel that we're really being pushed individually and collectively toward letting go.
Yeah.
Letting go of old identities, old ideas, old philosophies, old systems, and not really knowing what's coming, because what's coming isn't here yet. It's not crystallized.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have, Wendy was on a couple of times back. Or last time, right?
Last month.
Last month.
We had Wendy first.
And, you know, she and her partner, Mark, are both record keepers for their individual clans. And they have some differences, certainly, in what they were taught and in what they understand of what the predictions are for the coming times. But it's very close with both of them. And I've been listening also to a couple of different different folks on coast to coast who've also been talking about predictions about where we're headed, and they're all pretty close in terms of some pretty rough times, extremely rough times, and then very major shift in awareness, a shift in systems, shift on virtually every level. And then we come into a whole different period where it's not all this struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would personally prefer not to go through what the predictions are, and I don't know that it's going to go that way, but it does seem we're intensely being pushed to explore, examine, and let go of old,
mm-hmm.
virtually everything old, and that... For Nancy and Angela, I feel quite strongly that what the gang talked about in terms of clash of philosophical systems, this is exactly what we're in at large levels and individual levels. Is this? It's really a clash. It's not a gentle little. Well, you know, we'll try some of this, try some of that. No, it's an outright clash.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's so much commitment by various factions, by various beings, various forces, and even within ourselves, of adherence to certain ideas about how things should be, certain ideas about what should constitute reality. And this is just intensely, the systems are clashing, and the beings
mm-hmm.
who are committed to them are clashing with one another, and this seems to be the period we're in.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem to be intensifying.
Well, like we've been hearing about, what I've been talking about for a number of years now, was that this is the apocalypse, or the Book of Revelations, you know, they call it, the Mayans call it the end times, First Nations people call it the eighth fire prophecy.
And apocalypse basically means it's lifting the veil.
Lifting the veil.
Removing the veil. So, you know, all the stuff about, all the secrecy and all that, that's all part of the veil, and that's being exposed over and over again.
Yeah, so that's what these energies really push us toward,
including
is that.
Including our own, including the stuff we're veiled to about ourselves.
Exactly, yeah. What we hide from ourselves are you know, it's
or
becoming...
Or just it's hidden. Like whether we are hiding it from ourselves, depending on what you mean by that we or I,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's just not in our awareness right now. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's all this deep stuff is coming up intensely,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it can be quite challenging.
Absolutely.
It can be bloody painful, too.
Yeah, that too. Yes, it can be. Yeah. So, Nicole.
Richard's saying, what comes to mind is it's like spiritual alchemy. So in order to change to make those changes, there is that requirement that each individual element change.
Yeah.
And that's, like you say, you're seeing it now on such a grander scale for the first time,
uh-huh.
as well as mirrored through each individual.
Yep.
Because in order to attain something new, it's kind of like the book, The Alchemist, even. It's not just about that process. It's also about, they point out the fact that as you are about to take a major evolutionary step,
mm-hmm.
That is when your biggest challenges arise.
Yes.
To test the tools that you have, because you have to be tested to be able to receive the new, what will be the new level.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say something? Rather than being tested, I think we need to change the mentality on that. It's not a test. I think it's more of a making room for something different. So it's like letting go of everything that's old, everything that's kind of rotten and hardened, and a different frequency, right? So it needs to be broken down, released, and then there's room for something new. rather than
a new perspective. I guess the word almost is perspective. It's
mm-hmm.
a complete and utter change of perspectives, not just on individual, but on the entire consciousness. It's that new perspective of seeing what does not work
mm-hmm.
and making room to perceive things in new ways to come forward.
I'll put it this way, though. For me, perspective is absolutely involved. However, it's perspective with identification attached, and that's the really challenging part.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if we just had perspective, that's fine. Okay, so I look at a different perspective, look at a different way. Whoop-de-doo. Okay, I can embrace that. But it's like we've become very identified with certain perspectives, ideas, notions. We call it knowledge, truth about the nature of reality, and we call it, and we have those same ideas about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and we have become individually and collectively very polarized around these things,
mm-hmm.
and this is what's coming into clash.
Yes.
So, for me, like I've been having a lot of challenges with my knees, and especially my not low back, even my very tailbone. And I'm not accustomed to that, and I have to be up and down a lot in my job, so I'm not having a good time. And I know it's stuff that's going on internally that's reflecting in the body consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give an image of how I feel about what's going on. The gang put it this way. They said they said one time in a channeling that, you know, if you're looking to change your home, then you have choices. You can simply move into a new home, which is certainly the simplest and most convenient. That's a sneeze.
That was a sneeze.
That's a girly sneeze, let me tell you. Anyway, that's my perspective. And you know, another is to renovate your home. And I think, you know, this is stuff that many of the teachers like Muji and others talk about. You know, like we're in the time where it's like there's a growing recognition that all this ego identification has got to go. Not necessarily every little bit, but it seems like it's got to go. In order to open into a new awareness, a new consciousness, the ego identification has to, we have to let go of it. We have to drop it. And Muji especially, I think, puts it well, but many of the masters say a similar thing, and that is that we think, well, there must be some good bits. I can keep some good bits. And he says, no, it all goes.
It all goes.
And so, you know, the gang have talked about, so, you know, you can renovate the home. That's a whole, and that's what we want to do. We want to just make changes so we feel more comfortable. So we don't have to go through some massive change, which is typically uncomfortable or downright painful. And their perspective was what we're facing is, no, we have to blow up the old house and build something new because there's no keeping the nice bits. It's not like that. We cannot make this transition into where we're being pushed to go by trying to keep the nice bits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is the really big challenge that those who are in positions of positions of power. They don't want to let go of any of that. And on a personal level, it's like, well, no, I want this. I like this part. I spent all these years and all this effort to gain all this knowledge. You know, I want to keep it. Well, but what if the knowledge that you have has no real value in relation to the truth of what is?
Mm-hmm.
Then as long as we hold on to that, we're going to struggle.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we are.
Now, I wanted to check in with Nicole.
Absolutely. Sorry about that.
we went off at so many directions. Yeah, Nicole, I want to hear from you. How have you been experiencing this particular Mercury retrograde?
I would say that for me mostly, I found that my thoughts were everywhere. So I had a lot of challenges with my thoughts. I actually, most of the people on the call mentioned about the family issues or challenges that they had. I found the challenges in everything, every area of my life. So it was relationship, family, work, everywhere.
Wow.
And to my own surprise, I made some changes without hesitation that even surprised myself. The changes that I made, these were things that I would never do it before, never. I would think that this is not right and this is not me. But to my own surprise, I decided to make some changes in some areas, and the result was amazing. It was very positive. I learned that I could be completely a different person. I felt as if my thoughts are keeping me behind, or with the perception that I have of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because the changes that I made were amazing. They changed at work. Everything has changed. Just because I changed one thing, I changed my perception that I had from myself. I also found that what I did when I noticed that I have too many challenges with my thoughts, I started increasing my meditation time and frequency, and that helped me a lot with managing my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end, although I still have problems, I keep forgetting things. When I set up conference calls or webinars at work, there is always something that goes wrong. So these small things happen almost every day for me, which was very interesting. All in all, I found it very challenging, but at the same time, it was a very good opportunity for me to learn, to learn about myself, to learn how can I harness my thoughts, how can I control them and use them to be a better person, to understand how can I face every challenge individually. And address them uniquely. I found it, although it was very challenging, and I know that it's not finished because I still have those challenges, but I find in myself that I can tackle them differently compared to before, which is a very, very nice thing to know now, because I know I have the power, and this is me. Who can face them, who can change the results, and who can action on it differently.
Huh.
So it was a great opportunity. It was a great learning session for me, if I can put it that way. I have a question, Monica.
Yes.
The next Mercury retrograde is going to be in my sign. I'm a Libra.
Yeah.
And so is it going to be more difficult for me because it's in my sign? So is there any difference or no? I don't know.
I think there is a difference, but again, it has a lot to do with what else is happening in your chart, from my understanding.
Okay.
And being that it's in your sign, it also depends on how you are choosing to handle the challenges that come forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
If you, like as an example, this retrograde, you know, you found your thoughts were all over the place, you increased your meditation, and you were able to transform things and make some really positive life changes.
Yes.
Through that. So, you know, just by fact that you've started operating in that way, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can go into a retrograde very mindfully. And
okay.
So the next one being in Libra, you can just go in very, you know, very aware of this is in my sign and
mm-hmm.
and be very relaxed and at the same time open and yet ready to deal with whatever shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of stepping outside of the ego self.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. So this time I learned a lot about myself. So although it was challenging, but it was a very interesting period of time for me. I think I found my new self.
Yeah.
I now understand that I can behave differently. Almost everything depends on my reaction. So if I can, you know, think differently, behave differently, definitely the result is going to be different. And the outcome, based on the experience that I had, I know that I changed the outcome to be very positive for myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my experience from this retrograde.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really nice. I had some interesting things happen as well because, you know, of course, family things came up for me too. And that seems to be right across the board for everybody that I'm talking to. There's things to do with their closest personal relationships, you know, or what's showing up. So I've been finding that's been arriving for me too, and in some surprisingly positive ways. So it's like things that I would normally expect are not what's happening. Yeah, so it's good. It's good. I had I've been exploring a lot of what my own ideas and attitudes were towards certain things in my family. And you know, just yeah, for me I've been pleasantly surprised. So in that sense it's been good. I've been challenged in other ways. So, you know, I've had both ends of that spectrum of Mercury retrograde where some people seem to float right through and it seems, you know, positive and interesting. I've had some of that, and I've had other moments of, you know, of challenge. That, you know, that's just how it is. That's just how it is. And what I have noticed is that the challenges that have come up for me are ones that I have had difficulty in dealing with over the years, and so it came up front, center, and square. Boom, there it is. You know, you're not walking around it this time, sort of thing. So that is what's come up for me. And the interesting thing is that while these things come up, I just go into the mode, my operational mode, I guess, the same one I'm in right now, facilitating the call. I just, you know, for the most part, go into that mode, go about my day, and then, you know, in the moment when something surfaces, boom, there it is. And, you know, I deal with it in that, you know, in that particular time, and then I can go off and do other things, which it seems to me that's the intention of where we're supposed to be going anyway as a collective, is the very childlike, and children are present that way. So, you know, if they fall down and scrape their knee, they cry, you know, and then a minute later they're like, oh, something shiny, and off they go, or I want to play a new game now, and then they're laughing, and, you know, so they're just very in the moment with whatever's there for them.
Unless there's an adult around where they feel they're going to get a lot of attention if they make a big show.
Yeah. Richard's my adult. No. I get to make a big show.
I've not had kids, but I observe a great deal, and there was one young boy. He's probably about 3 to 4 years old, and he was very active, running all over the place, and his mother was really, she doted on him a lot and tried to protect him. And so when I watched him fall down, which he did quite often, and she would come running out and, oh my God, and make a huge fuss about it. And he would scream and carry on. And it'd be a huge deal for about half an hour, no matter how big the fall was. And then I watched him one time, he was running and he tripped and fell flat on the ground, like scraped his knees, or there was a bit of blood, not a lot. He didn't bash up his face, but he hit his head on the way down, or when he hit the ground. It did look like a pretty significant fall. And if it was me, I would probably be lying there screaming and swearing and making a big fuss. But he got up to a sitting position, and he was crying. And about half a minute later, he's looking around. He didn't see me. And he was looking around, and he didn't see any adult. So about another 10 or 15 seconds, he gets up, and he's running around again, playing. So he was ignoring the little bit of blood and whatever else had gone on, and away he went, because there was no adult making a big fuss.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it was really interesting observing the difference between him on his own and when his mother was present.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing against her. I mean, she's doing her thing, but the whole response was very much, it was a very different kind of response from just being in the moment, which I felt he was that time.
Yeah, and that's how, you know, when when we become indoctrinated into society, we lose that in the moment thing. We learn how to disconnect from that, from the now, and we're either, you know, regretting something that happened in the past, or we're anxious about what might be in the future. But we're not here now. And so that comes with, you know, well, you have to plan and, you know, make sure that you're, you know, doing everything right, so that you want to make sure you have the right job. You're planning for future. You're always in the future. And they teach us to do that in school, to always be worrying about your future. And, you know, as soon as we start worrying about our future, we're not present. And it's a natural human state to be present, I think.
I tend to feel that one of the big differences, you know, there's sayings about if we don't pay attention to the past, then we're destined to repeat the same mistakes.
Hmm.
And the same idea about the future. How do you expect to get where you need to be or have the things that you want if you're not planning for it?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember an interview with Wayne Dyer where he commented he hasn't had goals in years. He just has a clear sense of his purpose, and he just finds ever new ways of fulfilling that, of playing that out in the world. And that, you know, that to me is very childlike. It's very much the direction of where we're intended to go. And the whole idea to me of having to learn from the past in order not to repeat those mistakes, it has benefit, but it has the most benefit when we're operating from a mental place. This is our big challenge, is that the way things have been, the way the systems have been set up on this planet especially, we've been strongly encouraged to come to operate out from the mind,
mm-hmm.
out of the mental. And this to me is actually probably not naturally human. We're actually intend to operate more from the intuitive,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't require a lot of mental activity. It doesn't require us to look to the past to know how to be in this moment. It doesn't require us to try to plan for the future in order to ensure, you know, what we want. In fact, a lot of the wants disappear when we're actually just in the moment and coming from the intuitive side,
mm-hmm.
from the heart-centered side. And this, to me, mm-hmm. is where we're being pushed to go.
Yes.
The way we've been and what's encouraged these days is actually not natural for human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing about what you said about the mental is that our mental body has our lower mental and our higher mental body. And our lower mental, it's connected to our emotional body and like how we interpret it according to our physical reality, where the higher mental, it's connected to our spirit, so it's our intuition. So it's using that our mental processes as a tool,
mm-hmm.
so putting more of the mind to the service,
mm-hmm.
of spirit, and realizing that there's both. And now we need to clear whatever, like, feeling, like you were talking about, like being present and feeling whatever you're feeling in the moment, letting it be there rather than rationalizing why you're feeling a certain way, or just making it a logical process. Just feel it. Mm-hmm. It actually takes a minute and a half for an emotion, which is an energy, just to come through and then be released. So if you were to sit there with it for that minute and a half, just really feel it without mm-hmm. getting in your head, then that's all we really need to do. It's not easy, because we usually connect these emotions, these feelings, to an experience that we have. So by connecting it, then that's where the mind comes in, your rational.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in my personal experience, that's what I'm learning to do right now, is just sit with the feeling
mm-hmm.
and not get anxious about it. If it doesn't feel that great, just try to observe it and
mm-hmm.
and not attach any story to it. That's the challenging. And then it just passes through.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need to be a good thing or a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, get away from labeling energy.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not even ours.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's something around, someone close to us.
We're being empathic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And doing the work for someone else. I had a very strong experience, if I can share.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. One time last year, maybe I was with a group of people, everyone very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the girls, she does a lot of Reiki, well, energy work, and acupuncture. Very, very high vibration being. And she's talking about how one time, like, she had this past life memory where she was in concentration camps,
mm-hmm.
and how she was being tortured, and she remembered all of this. And when she was talking about this, all of a sudden, I started to feel really heavy,
mm-hmm.
and my blood pressure dropped, and I couldn't breathe. Like, all of a sudden, I was just really nauseous,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up and I said to her, "I'm about to pass out." And she's like, "Grab a crystal and lie down and just breathe with it."
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm lying down, I'm completely freaked out because I don't know what's happening. And I'm lying there and I'm telling her, like, "I don't know." She's just, "Breathe with it. It's not yours,
mm-hmm.
But you've given permission to do this." So I breathed with it, and I said, "Okay, I'm here with you." And then it was gone. And I talked to her after, and she said she was able to see this energy coming, that at a higher level I had given permission for it. I was going to help someone clear something. It could be someone related to
mm-hmm.
to the story she was telling. And I was just helping someone else clear something that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And at a higher level, I knew this and I had given permission for it.
Mm-hmm.
At this level, I didn't know what was happening. So from that moment on, she said it would be a good idea to ask that I'm being told. So at this level, I know what's happening. So ever since then, like, sometimes it just happens. And it's funny because I'm in a store where I'm just, like, in a random place and I have to, you know, forget where I am and, like,
mm-hmm.
breathe with it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not mine, and I know it's not mine, and just,
mm-hmm.
Not reject it, because when you reject it, you make it, you intensify it.
There's resistance,
mm-hmm.
then.
The resistance, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. That was
interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Monica. This is Nicole. I have to drop out of the call. Thank you so much for setting up this call. I really enjoyed tonight's call. Sorry, I have to go.
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you for being with us. Well, it was nice to have
welcome.
You.
And you can
Thank
pick
you.
It up.
Yeah, you can
Thank
pick
you.
It up.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Awesome. Yeah, so, yeah, what are you girls feeling now? Angela?
A lot of what we've been talking about is sort of resonating with, has anyone else read anything Toltec?
Yes,
that's the Four Agreements.
Oh, the Four Agreements, yeah, okay.
The Four Agreements, The Mastery of Love, The Mastery of Knowledge, and then there's a companion book. So a lot of that, like the, they call it, when Richard was talking about sort of, when he was talking about the child and what the child learns and that, that all of that sort of behavior, that's what the Toltec are talking about in separating and becoming aware so that you are aware and guided by your higher self. Not taking things personally, you know, the tools are not taking things personally, not making assumptions, always trying your best.
Be impeccable with your words.
Yeah, being impeccable with your words. That all sort of follows in with what Richard is saying and what you sort of see coming in that you need to move your awareness along and recognize sort of what is ego, and that you don't take it with you when you are aware. You recognize it. It has, you know, it has its functions out there, but within yourself, you are able to then separate yourself to recognize what is actually that inner guidance that you follow. I'm trying to think what the word is that they use for with the children. They say that you have to, they call it like a parasite. So what's trained into you once you hit 3, 4, 5 and up is that sort of that parasite that keeps you away from being aware of yourself.
Yes.
And following that inner guidance and sort of what it takes in using the tools to rid yourself of the parasite. The parasite isn't really your ego, because ego automatically comes with your human manifestation, but they talk about, I guess, in terms of the ego recognizing that it can surrender to the higher self and that all its needs will be met. So it fights and it fights you because it only knows what it's been trained, domestication, that's what they call it. So what you've been domesticated into, this society, by your family, by your teachers, by, you know, anybody who came into your awareness while you were still very easily molded. And then you get to the point where now you're molding yourself. So we're the only species that makes ourselves pay and suffer for the same mistake constantly. So it's breaking that domestication cycle and basically ridding yourself of that parasite so that you can be awakened to your inner self. And then you recognize that there is nothing in material form that you require. Every single thing that you require comes from within. And by following your inner guidance, it will lead you to where you need to be in each step while you're in your human manifestation, but without selling out your higher self to the other chaos around you and the other parasites.
An interesting perspective.
So
they actually use the term parasite?
That's what they call it, a parasite, because it feeds off your fear and negative emotions, and it does nothing for you.
And
so for your higher self, it is of no value. But it is of value to the domestication process and to the continued chaos and quietness of keeping people, you know, following along with whatever anyone else deems needs to be followed along with at this point.
So what is your understanding of what they mean by parasite? What is the parasite itself?
So the parasite is the fear, is the fear of following and awakening and listening to your own inner intuition and higher self.
So then their perspective is this just happens?
No, well, no, this is what happens. And when you hit the 2-3 age, this is introduced to you through what they call domestication. So when you're being taught by your parents, by the school, by the priests, whoever, how they expect you to behave in society, and they are rewarding and punishing you based on the societal norms that they want you to adhere to. And that's where you get the cycles of, you know, emotional pain and abuse. They call it emotional poison. You have to recognize that the people who did this to you, you know, they only did the best with what they knew because they weren't awakened to what was actually going on. So as you're awakening, you know, they're very clear that you're not blaming your parents, the priest, the teacher, etc. You're recognizing that they did the best they could with what they knew and what they had been shown.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who can rise above to awaken and remove the parasite and the poisons, which takes inner work. It's all about inner work, and it's a constant work and evolution. That's where the benefit is. That's sort of like, you know, what you're saying about how they're saying, you know, you have to tear the whole house down.
Yeah.
That's the Toltecer saying, you know, you need to understand that that's what this parasite is and how it came to be. And when you're awakened, you aren't taking any of that piece. You don't recognize the parasite as having any value. You recognize your inner value, your inner intuition, and following your higher self, and that will always provide for you as you move forward. And when you start to recognize, when you're dealing with people who aren't awake and are awake, that perspective of recognizing that you are just fine and peaceful and safe, and they're going to go on and do what they can, and they want to reinitiate your parasite or feed if you've left any pieces of your parasite, and it's all done through fear. So,
right. So the parasites. So then, if I have this idea, then the parasites they're identifying are the pattern ways of being and thinking. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, which are in a manner presented to you for you to take them on so you can fit in into family, society, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, and you will continue to perpetuate them into future generations as well as mass feeding each other's parasite, because the parasite lives on fear. So, you know, they talk about inside of you, you have the judge, the victim, and the belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get rid of the judge who judges others and judges yourself, the victim, and then those belief systems, which is all that domestication process. And as you systematically break the little agreements and eventually break the larger agreements, then your awareness and your awakening continues, and you're able to then, you know, recognize the energies, the fact that everyone is one collective energy, there is no separation, and that, going back to that sort of perspective of being one, and that's why everything you need is from within you, because you are a piece of that fabric.
Right. Yep. So it sounds, yes, and another valuable perspective and way of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's interesting the use of the term parasite. It's somewhat close to Castaneda.
Mm-hmm.
But Castaneda was talking specifically about parasites that aren't a natural part of our structure, not what you're talking about.
Right.
Parasites, as we would typically speak of a parasite, as another entity, as another presence.
Mm-hmm. A foreign installation.
It talks about the mind that you think is your mind as a foreign installation.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess for the Toltecs, the parasite is still a foreign installation because it is not born with you.
Yeah.
It is placed in you through emotional poisons and people who judge and you know the reward and punishment system. So in some ways, you know, it is similar because we aren't born with it.
Yeah, it has a certain degree of parallel, but it's definitely a different way of understanding. It's certainly quite intriguing. There's certainly plenty of what I see evidence for both aspects. No, thank you. I appreciate your telling us about that.
If anybody is the other lady, I think it was the lady who left the call. She was asking about reading about retrogrades. I actually have a book. It's by Martin Shulman, and he did a whole series. He calls it Karmic Astrology, and the second book is called Retrogrades and Reincarnation, and it actually talks about the different different retrogrades, and if you know where they fall in your planetary alignment, it can speak specifically to when you hit that type of retrograde, what the retrograde is sort of meant to mean to you, sort of ideas. It's kind of like a bit of a pathway to it, and it's a very interesting book. So it breaks it down not only just the retrogrades, but the retrogrades in each sign, and then in each house of your chart. To kind of help people, I guess, better sort of piece it together. It's a very interesting book, and each chapter, so each retrograde, it talks about specifically about that planet and, you know, for example, so Mercury, it talks about how it's, you know, very much tied to communication and that, and then what Pluto is tied to and Mars and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Yeah, perhaps you'll send the link to Monica and she can put it in the next email.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. For sure. So we got a cat joining us now. Noah likes to join in on these calls. So Nancy, do you have anything else you wanted to share or chat about? Maybe we lost Nancy.
Or her mute's on.
Sorry.
Okay. I thought we lost you there, Nancy.
Long pause. No. Maybe more of a question is, do you know anything about the Jupiter retrograde?
Well, Jupiter was retrograde, I believe, before Christmas or around the time of Christmas. And so when Jupiter retrogrades, I think it depends on where it affects you. I think others would have felt this Jupiter retrograde more than Richard and I. Jupiter's in Leo. Richard is a Leo, and my moon is in Leo. So we're both experiencing the benefits of Jupiter at the moment. So even when Jupiter's retrograde, you know, Jupiter's the planet of expansion and good luck and abundance, all of those things. He's known as the benefactor of the zodiac. So when Jupiter retrogrades, you know, it's as if those sort of traits are removed from our lives. So having Leo in the house, you know, I did notice finances at that time. Finances really tightened up when Jupiter went retrograde. It's back direct again. It came direct just after Christmas. And I believe we'll stay that way. I haven't looked up Jupiter retrograde for a while. But my understanding is, you know, some people really had a hard time with that. And for us, finances did tighten up a bit, but just by fact that Jupiter was in Leo, even if it was retrograde, meant that we still had some positive aspects from it ourselves. But it's, yeah. Each planet, I mean Venus, if Venus were retrograde,
it's coming.
Venus retrograde is coming?
Yeah, in July.
In July, okay, yeah, that's not a good time to decide you want to reinvent your whole new look or anything like that. Because Venus is all about beauty and
desire
and things like that. So
the Jupiter retrograde, according to Ruth's book, says that this is the type of incorruptible insistence on truth in the Jupiter retrograde.
Ah.
It does not depend so much on changes in matter as much as other. It does play on other planetary configurations. An individual is free to experience himself on a more pure level than if his truth depends on material existence. So it's about the incorruptible insistence of your own higher inner truth. So you're not able to hide from that. It's a natural affinity for Jupiter's pure truth creates a distaste for the mundane, everyday experience of life.
Well, which retrograde were you saying was coming up, Angela?
We just started Pluto.
Oh, Pluto, okay.
And that runs until September.
Mm. Okay. I just watched Jupiter Ascending, so I got my planets mixed up.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie. We watched it here, too, recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good... I liked it anyway. Made a lot of sense to me, but yeah. So what does Ruth's book say about Pluto retrograde? That's not one I've explored a whole bunch.
All right, so let's see here. It is indicative of the unknown areas man has to pass through before finally reaching an understanding of himself at his very deepest of levels. When the soul and the matter part their existence and are no longer in contact with the essential spirit of light, the individual experiences the baser plutonium energies. When he begins to transcend the unknown qualities within himself, he is able to bridge the gap between lower life and finally linking up with the spirit of purified golden light that God had intended him to know. When man is able to achieve this, he comes into contact with the part of him that is so essentially good that he is not sure that anyone who knows him would actually believe it, that this is in fact his true and real identity. The great difficulty involved in reaching this energy is like that of the seagull who flies on the highest of his wings. Each individual must transcend himself on his own. The endings qualified by Pluto are the symbolic dropping off of phases no longer necessary for individual growth.
Wow. So what this is reminding me of is the card of temperance in the major arcana of tarot. And so the card of temperance is where the soul surrenders the ego to the fire for tempering. So and the purpose of that is to basically stomp the ego into little bits, but really it's about that is the spiritual alchemy. The card of temperance is all about spiritual alchemy,
balancing,
yeah, and also, you know, like the soul surrenders the ego for purification is really what it is, so that the true essence of the being can shine through. So it's a form of alchemy. So Pluto retrograde means we're going to be going through some of the fires of purification this summer.
Yeah, because you're looking to transcend past what you know of yourself to get that much closer to what you are in true essence, that true inner light and inner guidance.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that seems to feel right for me. And so for where it is that, you know, as a seer, for where it is I feel that we're headed to as a collective, that would make sense. It would definitely make sense that we're going to be, I call it separating the wheat from the chaff, which is, you know, or the oil from the water, that kind of a thing, separating the oil from the water, whatever, like just, this is where we see the separation of the ego from the reality of who we are.
I had someone say to me that over the course of the summer coming into early August, it was I would go through a point at which it was the separation of self.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of, I would say that's the ego surrendering to the higher self.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, no longer viewing things from the first person,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to now seeing it as, again, that a piece of that entire energetic fabric.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Wow. Well, this has been a good exploration tonight, so, yeah.
So it sounds like the fun ride is not anywhere close to being over.
Well, no, it's not.
I would say it ain't anywhere close.
We're all in it together, though, that's the thing.
Yeah.
We're all in it together.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the comforting part, right?
That's the comforting part, is that we're all in it together, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I may have, I'm waiting for confirmation, I've connected with another really awesome guest speaker, and so for the July Mystical Monday, I'm checking to see if she'll be our guest. She's an author, a PhD. She's written a book called Awake, and it's about to be launched on the 23rd of June, I believe, is her official launch date. And so her book is called Awake, and then there's an e-book that goes with it called Wide Awake. And she's also a fan of Enlightenment Intensive. She's had her training for Enlightenment Intensive, like Russell. But she's also certified to do the work of Byron Katie. She's a university professor in the field of philosophy. And I've asked her to join. She's a past client of mine as well. And Richard and I have been given copies of her book so we can check it out ourselves. And so she may just be our guest next time. That would be really awesome. So keep your eye on the email, and we'll see what goes on with that. So anyway, I'm not having anything further to add myself tonight. It's been a really good discussion, though, and it's good for me. I think it's good to have these kinds of discussions. It's good for me to hear where everybody else is at, and then I also get new perspectives and new ways of looking at things through everybody else's experiences too. So I always appreciate that. We all benefit together.
I'll just mention before we depart that yes, this is promising to be quite the summer. In the U.S., they're starting Jade Helm 15, which is the largest military exercise ever done on the North American continent. That's supposed to go on for 2 months. And they're running operations between midnight and 5 a.m. It's a very big deal. Then on August the 22nd, Major Ed Dames, who's probably one of the pioneers in the remote viewing and remote influencing field, is going to be giving an open talk in Las Vegas, revealing 30 years of all the research that he's done, including the secret military stuff, and all his students. So 3 decades of research, and he was talking on Coast to Coast saying that he can't do it on the radio. He would be prevented from doing that, but he can do it individually in private. So he has a big exercise going on the 22nd, and that's when it starts. And he said he's going to reveal everything about that he knows and all the students know about secret government, secret operations, and ETs. And he said the information is immense. Just immense. And he said the world and what we know of as reality is not anything like what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the 20th of September, the Pope is visiting the States. And on the 23rd, we'll be addressing Congress and having a private meeting with the President in the White House. These things have never happened before. This is not a normal summer. This will be very, very different.
Yeah.
That's just a few of the things that I'm currently aware of. So, yeah, we're headed into quite the time.
Yeah.
So in a good way or in a bad way, Richard?
This is an exciting way.
Okay.
Some of these things will appear challenging to people, but it's all a part of the awakening of humanity. You know, we go through challenging things as a collective, and it's why we're here right now. That's why we chose to come here in human form, was to hold the candle, so to speak, through this.
Yeah. Good time to be letting go of what we think we know.
Yeah, and that's why it's important to keep, like what I was saying, of the month of June,
mm-hmm.
to keep our focus on, yes, this may appear like a lot of shit is going down, which is true, but there's light at the other end, and I think like that's what we need to focus on, what's coming after.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it's going to be very, very hard to go through it. And if we all focus in how bad it is and like how messed up, then we're going there too. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's to be conscious of what's happening. I think keep in mind that the change is for the better,
mm-hmm.
and things need to be, again, they need to collapse in order to rise, and like the Chinese say, you know, from every crisis rises new opportunities, and that's what we're going through. Unless this whole thing collapses, we can't build anything new, so we have to get past this and look at it from the perspective of, yeah, this is exciting, and it's a good time to be alive and to see this, to be able to live through this. I think it's very,
it's a very special time.
It is.
It's a very special time.
Yeah.
So I drew a card. I drew a card to, give some clarity or some insight on to what it is we're experiencing right now, and I drew the card of the storm. And the storm is basically, with a storm, there can be lots of noise, thunder, lightning, wind, howling, and all of those sorts of things, and it's a very cleansing thing. storms are very cleansing. And what we're going through on a collective right now, and with Pluto retrograding and everything, what we're going through is a collective storm. And so the important thing with the storm, and if you could see, you know, the colors on this card, there's like the eye in the center. Be the eye in the hurricane,
mm-hmm.
which is take control of your ego and show it who's boss.
Mm-hmm.
But be the eye of the hurricane, because that's what we came here for. And to know that this is just a storm. You know, regardless of what it looks like in the news, you know, on the collective stage, and, you know, regardless of who's saying what and how it's sounding, be that eye of the hurricane and know that this is because humanity has gone so far off track, we're going through a cleansing to bring us back on track. The storm will pass. And when the storm passes, there's rainbows. There's new growth. There's, you know, there's that exciting opportunity to rebuild. We have to let go of these government structures. We have to let go of these militarized ways of being in the world. We have to let go of having, you know, religious authorities over us telling us how to be when we know in our own hearts how to be. We have to let go of the damage we're doing to our environments, you know, economic slavery, all of these things. You know, we have to let go of all of that so that we can move forward as a collective more positively, and that's the storm that's unleashing right now. So we're just getting to the good bits. So, you know, hold your focus. Be the eye of the hurricane. Let the storm roar all around you and just hold your ground. That's my best advice. There's nothing to fear. We didn't come here to fear anyway.
And then if we hold that space, tranquility, like Monica is saying, the eye of the storm, we're kind of helping tip the ship on the other.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're all going to sink together. So that some of us that are conscious about what's happening need to stay on the other side, holding...
holding the... anchoring the light.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Anchor the light.
Yeah.
For sure. Awesome. Well, this has been a really good discussion tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you
guys.
Yeah, uh-huh. Awesome. So I'll post this recording up on our site as usual, and you know, if you have any questions or anything over the next few days, please don't hesitate to you know, send an email or something, or you know, drop a message. If I can't talk to you right away, I'll let you know, and we'll make a time to chat. And that's all good. Mhm. Yeah, but other than that, it's good to hear your voices again over there.
Yeah, you too, Mon.
Yeah, it's good to catch up. And
yeah.
we'll have to do that more.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you and Richard in a few weeks.
Yeah, that's fast, eh? For sure.
Awesome.
That's great. All right.
Have a great night.
Have a great night, you guys.
All right.
Take
care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.